Curious Things podcast, your gateway to the trends and tropes of the horror genre. I'm your host, Eric Lee. Today, a special edition of the podcast, as we are proud to be joined by Amanda Presmick, the producer of Puppet Master, The Littlest Reich, who is here to talk with us about the reimagined movie currently making its way through the festival circuit, and is also here to talk to us about the new studio that is producing it, Cinestate, which also happens to be the parent company of a name many of you are familiar with, Fangoria, the famed publication which was brought back from dead earlier this year.
So as a point of reference, I have posted a review on scariestthings.com, and this was a film that I just saw at the Portland Horror Film Festival, and I had actually had previously an opportunity to have seen it at the Overlook Film Festival, but I will admit that I am not a big franchise horror guy, as some of you listeners may know. And so it was like Puppet Master. Well, what is this, the 13th version of Puppet Master? And later on through the festival, people started raving about how much fun it was. And I went, ah, man, I missed it. That was the world premiere. What was I thinking? And I also got a chance to meet with a couple of the stars, with Udo Kier and Tommy Lennon, who were wonderful people. Just ended up hanging out at the bar, and we just had conversations, and it's one of those things where you realize what a fantastic community the indie horror film festivals are, and how I think, you know, as much as the fans need these types of movies, the movies also really need us as the fans, and I think that really came across as I met with these folks. So I got a chance to see the full screening in Portland, and I was wowed. I really didn't, even after hearing the raves at the Overlook in New Orleans, this movie surprised the hell out of me. It was the production value was much higher than I had any reason to expect, because if you're familiar with the old Puppet Master franchise, this used to come out of the Full Moon Entertainment Enterprise, which was pretty much a straight-to-video production, and they would do them one after the other, and you know, the quality of them sort of would vary. I think the first couple were a lot of fun. The puppets were adorable and wicked and nasty at the same time, and but the, you know, admittedly they didn't have big budgets, and so they were limited by that. It's clear that Cinestate and Fangoria, who are backing this new production, they've reimagined this, and it is they've injected it with good actors, with good production quality, great stories, and it's really gory and bloody and wicked fun. I'd bet that you could stack up the amount of kills in this movie, and it might exceed the 13 movies previous. So anyhow, I left the film festival and the Portland Horror Film Festival changed of my opinion of the series. I think I had probably seen three of the Puppet Master episodes before this, and now it's like I'm dying to see what comes next and to see if that this is going to become a franchise that's now guided by a new production company. So that's my background with this, and I think it's about time to introduce Amanda. So Amanda, can you tell us about your movie?
Well, Eric, first of all, thank you for having me, and thank you for the glowing review and the glowing response to the movie. You know, a lot of what you're feeling right now is exactly what we wanted to do and exactly the type of vibe that we wanted to create with this movie and the response that we wanted to get from this movie. So it's just awesome to hear that that you really, really enjoyed the film. But we just played at Cinepocalypse either last night or the night before, depending on when you hear this podcast. But we had a midnight slot at Cinepocalypse, and I hope that everyone in Chicago is really taking to the movie as well. And after that, we head to Fantasia Festival in Montreal, which will be really fun.
Oh, the big one. Yeah.
Yeah. So Tony Timpone is stoked to have us up there. So that'll be our next festival trip. And then after that, We have a special screening of the film coming up in August, which hasn't been announced yet, but if you're looking to see the movie right before it comes out officially in theaters, there'll be a special screening that we'll announce soon.
Fantastic. So, how did this come to be? Because I know that CineState's a fairly new organization. The background, for those of you who aren't familiar with CineState, Bone Tomahawk is probably the movie most closely associated with it, which is, it's a Kurt Russell movie. It's a Western horror with possibly the single most visceral moment I have seen in horror in the last 20 years. It is a jaw dropper. And I is that what came first? What was the chicken and the egg kind of a situation for CineState?
So CineState, like you said, is we're young and we're feisty. And in fact, the release of Puppet Master as the first Fangoria film is a bit of a fluke because Dallas acquired the rights to Puppet Master to do a reboot back in 2016. And the intention back then was for it to be honestly an even bigger version than The Littlest Reich turned out to be. But over time, as we were trying to develop the project and figure out, what the budget was going to be, who the cast was going to be, that timing wound up lining perfectly up with when we acquired Fangoria, which was a surprise and not part of the initial plan once when Fangoria, sorry, when Puppet Master came to be. So those two things aligned perfectly. And so, CineState was well on its way to making a bunch of stuff, like you said, Bone Tomahawk and Brawl in Cell Block 99. But once we acquired Fangoria, it was a no-brainer that Puppet Master should be the first Fangoria movie out of the gate.
It's a great debut for you guys on that side. Do you see that, is Fangoria going to be a production studio within the CineState umbrella that's going to be the horror brand of CineState, or how's that working out?
That's absolutely correct. So CineState will remain the parent company and will do pictures under CineState that are in the genre world, but a bit more, thriller or Western or anything that's not horror. And then Fangoria, like you said, will be our horror brand. So we've got a couple things lined up already to come out of the gate right after Puppet Master that we're working on now that we're really excited about.
Well, I think the thing that I would label this is this is fun horror. This is the return because I know that right now we're in this fantastic period where there is serious horror fare that's being put out there. Stuff that's Oscar worthy, things like Hereditary and well, of course, Get Out and A Quiet Place, but you would never say Hereditary's fun. I think that is something that if you've been sort of following the Hollywood insider stuff, that it's getting rave reviews across the board, but it's a tough movie to watch and doesn't make you. It's not one that has people cheering. And in the theater, there were about five or six moments within Puppet Master, The Littlest Reich, where the crowd just goes, "Oh shit!" And then and you know the bang for the buck. It's a return to some of the 80s fun factor, but you've managed to inject it with a higher level of acting talent. And I'm kind of curious to know where you see your productions fitting into this new landscape of horror productions between the indie and the studio projects.
We're huge fans of all of those movies. We enjoyed the hell out of Hereditary. Get Out is just phenomenal. And frankly, the idea of having Fangoria as our brand and as our label in part is so that we can, compete with the Blumhouses and the A24s of the world. And not that it's really competitive. Like we're proud of what they're doing. We're excited about what they're doing, and we're jealous of hell, of all of their successes and all that stuff. But in our mind, there's room for all of it and for everybody. And so, our tastes are just a little bit different than theirs. We want to make R-rated practical effects movies for audiences whose tastes are a little bit more twisted. You know, like you said, some of the moments that you're cheering for during Puppet Master and laughing at during Puppet Master aren't, you know, outside of the context, aren't moments that
No.
most people would cheer for. So, you know, there's a twisted sense of fun that we do have and will put in a lot of our projects for sure.
Yeah, I think one thing, to follow up on that, you managed to go right up to the edge of good taste. Maybe stepped over it a couple of times, but I think that's part of, some of the risk taking that the studio productions go safe.
Right.
And I think that some of the limitations of, what the MPAA will say is allowable or what is the audience appetite for gonzo horror? What's your philosophy on how much you want to push the limits of being offensive and just being shy of that?
There's not a directive in our opinion that we have to offend, right? There's not this idea that we should push boundaries per se. The really the truth of it all is that we just want to make stuff that's good. And so when we're searching for projects and we're considering projects, you know, if we're reading a script that just happens to, you know, bisect a man down the middle vertically, but it's a really good script, you know, we're not going to shy away from that, right? And a lot of people would, because it does have to be outside the Hollywood system if you want to do something like that. But our model is wholly outside of those limitations, which is what, you know, allows us to have fun in some places and kind of get a little daring in places that other production companies maybe couldn't.
Yeah, that was your Bonehawk Tomahawk reference, folks. If you want to see a man bisected in half vertically, go see Bone Tomahawk. It will it you won't forget it.
Yeah,
For
like you said, it will change you, you know.
it I yeah I that a lasting effect on me for sure. Another question on the puppets. I think the stars of this movie, and I think the franchise, I think it was Full Moon's great achievement was Puppet Master, and I think it's because the puppets are so fun. But the limitations to the old puppets was it looked like that someone was just taking them and rotating them on a puppet stick. I think that you I, through the editing or the effects, there was the puppets, and I think it also you had so many puppets in Puppet Master Littlest Reich, that it seems smoother, and that the whether it was animatronics or whether it was real puppeteering or stop motion or however you did it was it felt like you up the game on your FX. What can you tell us about how you did the puppets on this thing?
Yeah, thank you for that. You know, from the get-go, the when Zoller was writing the script and when we first brought on Tate Steinsick, who was our prosthetics designer and the puppet designer, the goal was to make them, like you said, A, a little bit more realistic and B, a little bit scarier, a little bit more menacing. And of course, you know, at the end of the day, they are still puppets that come to life, and some people will find that a little scary, and you know, some people will just find it fun. But the puppets themselves, we wanted them to be taken seriously. And so all of Tate's designs, even the redesigns of the original puppets, just kind of take it up a notch. You know, they're a little bit scarier, their eyes are a little bit meaner. So that was part of it.
Do you have a favorite one? If you were to pick one out, what's your puppet of choice?
So I personally really love a puppet who has very brief screen time in Littlest Reich, but his name is Mechaniker, and I love him because I think he's about like 3.5 inches tall. He's tiny. And so the idea that, you know, that's this big menacing, you know, kill puppet, but he's like 3.5 inches tall, I just love. He runs around like a little remote control, and I think it's, you know, adorable.
Because full admission here is I am in addition to being a part-time horror movie critic and website developer. I'm also a collector of things, and so this was right in my wheelhouse. I have I've got lightsabers. I have I collect fossils. I collect masks, and I had to go check out to see. It's like, okay, so look up. You can get full scale prop replicas of these dolls for, I think, on eBay. They're like range between $350 and $500. But after you see the movie, you'll begin to ask yourself whether that's a good idea or not, because it is so meta. I think that the I think you've capitalized sort of on a moment in time when the things like the Comic Cons and the South by Southwesty kind of the festivals and everybody getting together and celebrating their love for these productions, but also the collector, if you go to any comic convention, you have to wade your way through all the toy booths and all that kind of stuff, and this is sort of it encapsulates that it and I think I described it on the website. I think it's like a nerd meatloaf with geek gravy poured on top, because it just felt like it hit on so many levels. My personal favorite, I love Torch. I just think the design for Torch is so he's so wicked and he's cute and nasty at the same time. I think he epitomizes sort of what is best about sort of the franchise.
Yeah, he's a very close second. His first kill in the movie is such a delightful moment for me. It's like right up there with a beautiful character triumph, and then it just takes a hard left. I love that.
I think out of curiosity for as you're going through the festival circuit and you've got a theatrical release. Is it going to be a wide release or a limited release theatrically?
It'll be in select theaters on August 17th. We eagerly await the confirmation of which cities it'll be in, but yeah, it'll be limited.
Yeah, because I think this something that exists now that didn't exist like say 5, 10 years ago is this obsession with watching the box office, where that they that's always you follow the weekend returns, and there's so many podcasts and websites like Box Office Mojo that they'll claim a movie a hit or a failure based on their opening weekend. And how does a company like Fangoria, Cinestate, work in that environment? Because it's going to you with the limited theatrical releases versus or how does a or stream straight to streaming that kind of stuff? Where do you fit into that environment?
Yeah, I mean we're not really targeting box office returns, especially when we're releasing movies that have, like I said, some of this fun R or X rated stuff. That's not a part of our measure of success. But what we do look at is, what is the response when we're on the festival circuit? And with Puppet Master, it's been amazing thus far. And so our hope is that, that kind of word of mouth and excitement just spreads, and the people who want to find the movie will find the movie online and streaming if they can't catch it in theaters. And we just want it to have a long long life that way. There's a lot of it's a theory really whether it matters that you're seeing it in a theater or on a laptop screen or all of that. And we just want people to see the movie. And our model is it's a lower budget independent model that is designed for success in a space outside of theatrical releases. But we will release movies theatrically too. It's just kind of a project by project basis.
I love this the festival model. And I think one thing that as a shout out to Gwen and Brian Callahan, who put on our little Portland festival, they got 400 films to view, and so they curate these things, and then they'll sift out the stuff that isn't up to that isn't up to par, and so what you when you get these horror movie festivals, you're going to get something that's entertaining, and as a way to see some movies that don't get big wide releases, I think so. So folks, if you're out there, if you're within listening range, and that Puppet Master's coming to one of these festivals near you, or if you've just seen it in Chicago or going to be in Montreal, this is your chance to see it on the big screen. It's great seeing it with a fan-packed audience.
Yes.
The gross out moments are you get those that big groan from the audience, and then you get and then there are some great heroic moments. I thought the Jewish character
Markowitz.
Markowitz. Oh, he was so good. I thought he stole the movie. That he, it's like that.
Yeah.
Now that's for World War II, that kind of stuff. And the comedy beats, you guys are hitting it. And you got top shelf or a higher level of acting talent to come in. How did you put together this cast for Puppet Master?
Yeah, the blend of the talent and the comedy is really by a very specific design. Dallas wanted to have this kind of legion of Hollywood and horror greats, like these great actors from the 80s, like Barbara Crampton and like Michael Paré and Udo Kier. He wanted to have those presences in the movie, but then he also wanted to populate it with kind of the new guard of comedy. And so that's how we, got Thomas Lennon and Nelson Franklin and Charlene Yi. And then Jenny Pellicer, who plays Ashley, she's a great newcomer. We wanted both worlds in the film. And in doing that, it really created this perfect balance of, playing this very serious, over-the-top horror scenario, playing it straight, and all of Zoller's dialogue really, really shines through these, self-serious deliveries, of these characters. And so really it's we I would say we lucked out, but the script is honestly so good, for a Puppet Master movie or in general, for any script. It's a really well-written script. Like I said, S. Craig Zoller wrote it, and it's of that level. And so when people read it, they kind of went, "Oh," and so Tom loved it, and we were lucky to have him and all the others.
I saw Tom was participating when I was at the Overlook Film Festival. He was on a I guess the Canon podcast, and they were talking about Exorcist versus Exorcist 3. And you realize it's like, I know him from Night at the Museum and Reno 9
Yeah, Reno 911.
Reno 911, and as a straight up comedian, but he knows his horror. And
Yeah.
that was the kind of a thing that you realize actually how many of these actors really do have an affection for the genre. And I also love that Barbara's back in the game.
Yeah.
She had a she was actually at the Portland Horror Film Festival and was kind enough to do a meet and greet with us. She suffered the fate of many actresses when she hit her late 30s. All of a sudden, the lead roles started going away, and so she retired. And she came back for You're Next, which is, I think, one of the starter moments for this new golden age of horror that we've gotten. So I think
Absolutely.
they the when I asked her, how did you get back in the game? She said it was just that people remembered her from Reanimator and From Beyond and all of her sort of iconic roles from back in that time. And they wanted a known quantity for Your Next. I think now that Barbara's got like three or four great horror movies recently under her belt, and she made an announcement which was fantastic. She was talking about redoing Castle Freak, which I don't know how many of our listeners are familiar with Castle Freak, because that was one of the Full Moon videos that went, it was straight to video. It was over the top gross. I think there was it was a, it's sort of a zombie-ish movie, or a more ghoul than zombie. It was a Stuart Gordon production, from the it's kind of a cheapy kind of a thing, and it sounds like CineState's going to be back in the game for that. So what can you tell us? Is that happening?
Yeah, well, first of all, I'll say I actually was not familiar with Castle Freak myself. I had never seen it. And so once we backing up, basically what happened is that, Charles Band, once he saw the final cut of Littlest Reich, he literally called Dallas up and was like, "What else do you want? What else do you want to do?" And Dallas was like, "Castle Freak, period, end of story. We're doing Castle Freak." And at
Nice.
that point, yeah, at that point, I hadn't seen it. And so, I went right home and queued it up and watched it. And holy cow, that is an under loved, under worshipped horror film. I think it's so good. It's so enjoyable.
Go digging for that one, folks.
Yeah.
It now I will wonder, it's gross, and it's in it falls within that full moon kind of not necessarily in good taste kind of good, some of these moments, but it is in my college years where we were just soaking all this stuff up. This was one of my guilty pleasure movies, and to hear that, if you guys can give Castle Freak the same treatment than you just gave Puppet Master. You up the you, you up the script. If you can find a way to get Jeffrey Combs back in, I'm there on opening night. So.
And so like you said, so Barbara Crampton is producing with us. We have a screenwriter working on the script right now, and Tate Steinsick, who designed all of the puppets and prosthetics for Puppet Master, is the director. So it's a really exciting package, and I think one of the things that the original Castle Freak film and Puppet Master: The Littlest Reich have in common is that even though there's all of these over-the-top set pieces, inappropriate, a little bit gross out, all of that, there's also this really, really kind of lovely like empathy at the heart of the movies. Castle Freak is about this poor kid who's just, long suffered. He's been tortured his whole life, and he's a really misunderstood guy. And Puppet Master is about, this, I mean, it's about a lot of things, but what we're really talking about is, the Third Reich. And so there's a battling against these, people who don't deserve it. And so, we're really excited to give it another go with Castle Freak for sure.
All right. Well, and if you can do me a favor and see if you can get From Beyond rolling again, I'd be totally up for that also. So actually, that brings up a really good question. What happened to Full Moon? Is are they do they still exist as an entity, or what? How
Yeah,
that?
so what I do know is that we have our deal with them on Puppet Master is that they are absolutely, they still retain their rights to the franchise as well. So while we were able to go off and make our own reimagining, Charles Band also retains the rights, and he can continue his parallel universe of Puppet Master movies. They just came out with Axis Termination. I don't know whether there, is or another is or is not another one in that gate, but they certainly have the ability to. And so we thought it was important for that to be possible. Like it sucks when someone acquires the rights to something and it kills off whatever, other version existed out there. So we wanted, everybody wanted them to be able to coexist. And so that's the setup.
Yeah, I think the other line, the full moon run is they turn the puppets into little superheroes. And so that there was and I think the last I think the Axis of Evil I think is a trilogy where there are the allies are the puppets that we've grown up with, and then the Axis they've introduced a different set of them, and so they're clashing against each other. So it's kind of it's a decidedly different take than what Littlest Reich did, which is sort of saying, yeah, these are the evil dolls, and they are out, and they're going to cut you to ribbons. So I think that there's room for both. I think in a way, I think that there's been a lot of talk about in the superhero genre, where Spider-Man gets shared between Sony and Marvel. So that's it on a grand scale. Then the question of, it's like who's, who owns certain what sides of the property. It's nice to know that you guys play well in the sandbox together.
Dallas and Charles are friends, and we were so excited that he was open to the whole idea in general. And now that the end product is out there and everybody's stoked on it, like I said, he was he was supportive of us and ready to give us another one of his babies. So that's a huge compliment. And
Absolutely.
we look forward to hopefully many more.
Now, are you are there any other producers of well, I guess the it, are you looking to reboot any other franchises, or are you going to be directing your attention more to new material? What's the thought process for Fangoria's side of CineScape?
We are definitely interested in new IPs. We want original ideas, new and exciting scripts. So we're actively seeking original ideas. But of course, that said, we are more than open to pre-existing monsters and ideas. So both avenues are part of the plan.
Excellent. So what are the films that you have in the can right now? Can you describe I mean, besides the ones that we've already talked about, is there anything else that you would direct our fans to?
Yeah, so we're our next project out of the gate will be a film called Satanic Panic. It just got announced a couple of weeks ago, and it's a script by Grady Hendrix,
Huh.
who wrote Paperbacks from Hell. And so he wrote the, it's a story about a teenage pizza delivery girl who runs out of tip money at the end of the night and needs to get a tip to get gas to get home. And she forces her way inside her last home to say, look, I just gotta get some money, guys. I gotta get home. And she finds herself smack in the middle of a
A
satanic
ritual.
cult summoning Baphomet. So,
Awesome.
it's balls to the wall from there, and it's a really fun project, and we're putting it together now, and I can't wait.
Satanic Panic.
Yeah, that's right.
My podcasting partner Mike would be thrilled to hear that. He is all about the culty kind of movies, and that sounds almost, it kind of has a bit of a throwback sound to it. So,
It's, yeah, definitely.
right on. Okay, well, I guess is there, we're about out of time, but is there anything else that you'd like to sort of to share as relative to your experiences with the production, or with where you are as a company?
Well, in terms of the production, I mean, it honestly was just a hell of a lot of fun. I think we all knew what we were in for in one sense, but then on the other sense, puppets are even less predictable than human beings. And so, we all had a lot of fun figuring it out, and it was a really fantastic movie making experience in that regard. And in terms of the company, I think everybody out there who's a fan of Fangoria should know that it's in extremely good hands. I'm right
Yeah.
down the hall from everybody working on rebooting the magazine, and there's some really amazing stuff going into it. And so, if you guys are into the world, I would encourage you to go to www.fangoria.com to learn a little bit about how we're handling the reboot of the magazine, and you can get a subscription there as well. And then, look forward to that in October.
Awesome. Actually, and that reminds me, so the format for Fangoria, from what I understand, this is going to be a sort of not like the old newsstand version, that you're doing sort of a more premium kind of a format for the magazine. Is that correct?
That's right. It'll be 4 issues annually, available right now, subscription only. And each of the issues is going to be 100 pages long. They'll be more of a collector's item. Not that, of course, the old Fangorias were not, but it'll be, a kind of bound issue that's really, really slick, really, really high production value. And the content as well is going to be of a level that we hope it impresses people.
Well, remind me that I need to get a subscription going, because that I was a huge fan as a kid, and I was really saddened to see when they had to shutter their doors, because of the state of print media in general just sort of has closed the doors on so many of the old magazine companies. And then when it was announced that it was back, it was like, somebody saved Fangoria. And so yeah, I really look forward to that, and seeing that, because it's not going to be on the shelves, right? Is it a going to be a direct subscription only, or is it?
Yeah, for now it's direct subscription only via mail, and you know we could expand in the future, but that's just how we're getting going right now.
All right. Well, Amanda, thank you so much for joining me. I don't be a stranger. Next time you got something coming our way, make sure to let us know, and we'll go direct our fans to go check it out. And it's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much, Eric. It was fun, and I'm sure we will talk soon. All
All right.
right, have a good one.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.